All right, folks, welcome back to yet another episode of Fresh Juice, an indie game podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Tommy Fresh, and joined as always, it is
Matty Juice. I'm in a big room for the listeners. You know, I'm in like an auditorium here. It's pretty wild. You know, it's like what do we got? Fans like maybe how deep, Tom? How many rows deep we got fans right now?
Oh, it's deep, bro.
I can't even see it. It's endless. Look at infinity mirror.
It's so funny that you said you're like a big room. I would have automatically, you know, when I hear an echo, I think of like a cave, right?
Yeah.
I think a cavernous-esque kind of structure. Well, I guess it's not a structure. Well, a natural structure in a way.
Yeah.
And funny enough, the other day, I don't know. This is why myself and my fiance are soulmates. Because like, you know, every once in a while we'd be laying in bed and we'll still have like those... like sleepover conversations. Hey, yeah. You awake? Are you gonna get one of those?
Yeah,
you? Huh? And I was like, what do you do to go to sleep? And she was like, you know, she did whatever. She has like a really good technique at doing it. She can go to sleep almost instantly. I am not that way.
Wow. Okay.
I need to pretend like I can really fall asleep like if I'm super tired, but I need to pretend I'm doing something like for a while
in a cave.
Well, that's it. I was like, sometimes I'm like I pretend like I'm in a cave. She's like, what does that mean? I was like, well, I'm just kind of in a cave and I'm just imagining being in a cave. For whatever reason, it makes me really calm now. If anybody's ever seen the movie the Descent, I don't mean that kind of cave with little golem like creatures running around. That is too scary to go to sleep in that kind of cave, and a little bit too claustrophobic. But yeah, that's the cave story of the week, folks. Tune in there next week for another cave story. It's gonna be awesome. Cave story. That's an indie game.
Look at that. Full circle. Full circle right there. Amazing.
Holy smokes. But we got a great episode for you all this week. We are talking about a prologue, which is kind of an interesting concept that we're starting to see a little bit more of, and we'll delve a little bit more into what that means. It's called Hollow Survivors Prologue, and we're gonna have a lot of fun talking about it. And but I don't know, before that, let's what's going on? How you doing? What's new?
Yeah, doing good. You know, had a solid weekend. God, what did I do over the weekend? Oh man. It was my father-in-law's birthday, so we went to Brownstone, the pancake factory.
Okay.
Which is like, they're just like over the top. It's okay going there. I mean, the food's good, but like it's very like over the top with like all the sugar and stuff. You know, they got like insane milkshakes and all that. Not that I have those, but got a Reuben at like 10:30 in the morning there. So that was pretty good. You know, it's almost lunchtime. We round up. Other than that, you know, watch some movies with Maria. We watched some Austin Powers, which is a good time. Been watching the Olympics as well. The Olympics has been, I'm not usually like an Olympic watcher guy. I don't know if I mentioned this last week because I know it's been on for a bit, but usually more into like the Winter Olympics. And but Maria's like very into the Summer Olympics as well. And so she's been wanting to watch it. So I've been watching it and like, I've been getting into it a bit, you know. I'm just like, you know, I honestly don't care if like USA wins. I just want to see like a close match of whatever it is, you know, whether it's like, you know, swimming or like race, track and field, whatever. So it's been fun. It's been cool to watch that. And it's like on almost every night. So been checking that out, you know, in the evenings. But yeah, other than that, not too much. I mean, obviously been playing some Once Human, which has been fun, making some videos on that. And not too much has been happening though outside of that, really. Just it's been raining like off and on, so it's hard to kind of do stuff outside. And then it's hot as hell when it's not raining, so it's just just been kind of chilling, watching some movies and stuff. But what about you, Tommy? How have you been lately?
Good. I haven't been watching a ton of the Olympics, to be honest, but I get a lot of, like, the updates and I get the memes and stuff like that. So, like the guy from Turkey who got the silver medal in the shooting competition, like the pistol shooting.
With the mask on? No, that's not the guy from Turkey, but I did see another clip of that, but go ahead.
I forget what the actual event's called, but it's like pistol shooting, right? And they're trying to hit a target, and you know, it's like one-handed shooting, and everybody's got like crazy gear, right? They got like special glasses and stuff like that, and like, you know, whatever. And probably the person who got the gold had the special glasses too, but the guy from Turkey is this like middle-aged dude who like just has like thick rim regular glasses and like kind of like spiky gray hair, and he just looks so casual about it, right? That he got silver medal.
Yeah.
And
he's like eyeing it up.
And he looked like super chill, and everybody's like creating lore for this guy. They're like, he came out of retirement, like, you know, stuff like that. He used to be like MI6, and then, you know, he was like what was the Russian one? I mean, he's from Turkey, so it's like, is neither MI6 or whatever the Russian.
KGB?
KGB, no, or something like that.
Yeah.
And they were saying that, you know, that he was coming out of retirement to do this. And then, like, I think he said that he got into shooting after his divorce, which on paper doesn't sound great, but, you know, but like competitive shooting or whatever. Yeah. I'm sure he had already been shooting. Yeah. And he said something about, I want the dog back, babe, or something like that. I don't know. I could be creating more lore that doesn't exist.
Right.
But that was pretty cool. I like those memes. But my weekend was pretty low key, I think. What did I do? Oh, yeah. Friday, went out to dinner with fiance and her sister. That was cool. And then Saturday, got some stuff done, played some Flesh and Blood. And Sunday was just like doing like tasks around the house and stuff like that. And actually putting together a wedding gift that we got from you, which was a lot of fun. So that was cool. And also I had to replace Lady Fresh's car radio.
Right? Oh, okay.
So
how does that work?
not in any way that you would think is easy. Okay. Right. Her car radio stopped working, so she was going to go to just Hyundai and like have it replaced, and they were like, it's going to cost like $2,000, and she was like, okay, that seems like a lot. So she just like ordered like a used one, right, for like $200 bucks or something like that. A lot better, but you have to replace it. Now, the unfortunate thing is the used one didn't actually come with the connectors for Sirius Radio, which she had, so she's probably just gonna have to cancel Sirius Radio, which is not that bad. You save a little bit more money, but you basically have to open the door, unscrew stuff on the side, and then like kind of rip the whole dashboard out. Rip, but like, you know, pull it out.
Yeah.
And then once you're in there, you like unscrew everything, you yank out the radio, and then you pop in the new one. So that was cool, but like it was so hot. Right. And you can't really have the car on while you're doing it. So I'm just like in there suffocating, like screwing like really tiny parts, which like I already have these fat fingers. I'm like,
yeah,
you know, it's just like, I got to get it done.
Doing real man stuff. That's what that is. You know, dripping in sweat, replacing radios, you know, just typical weekend.
Yeah. Just, babe, you can now listen to, Spotify again. It was fun though, but that was my weekend, and I think this upcoming weekend is going to be a lot more exciting, and I can't wait to talk about it next week, so people will have to actually tune in next week as well. But let's get to some news, folks. You know, the news cycle is never ending, right?
It is.
You know, we got elections going on, we got the Olympics, we got indie game news. And we have a Fresh Juice Discord, which everybody should join. It is in the show notes below or to the side. However you have your show notes, check it out. It's a great place to hang out. But also, we do have some other news. Pal World is a game that we had talked about quite a bit when it was really initially popping. You found an article about how it's doing.
Yeah, some interesting stuff here. Obviously, Pal World, one of the biggest indie games of the year. And they've actually said that Pal World's profits are so massive that its developer's next game could, quote unquote, go beyond AAA, whatever that means. But the CEO doesn't want to wield, quote unquote, such an enormous budget. So very interesting. You know, obviously, we knew this game was basically printing money, right? Mm-hmm. You know, anything that's going to be related to Pokemon and actually like has like good mechanics in the game is just kind of a recipe for success in my mind. And it's very interesting. I don't know what they mean by it could go beyond AAA. I'm not even sure what that might mean. What comes to mind? Okay, go ahead.
Quadruple A.
Oh my God. Yeah, the only game that comes to mind that like I'm like, okay, maybe this is like beyond AAA is like Fortnite, because Fortnite innovated on so many things and it really, you know, you got like the in-world events that everybody can see, like all this sort of stuff that like people were thinking about like would be cool in games, but it never really happened, at least to the scale that Fortnite did it. So maybe that's what they mean in terms of like they're going to be pushing some boundaries and doing some things that we've never seen before. But yeah, not too sure about it. But it is good to see that like the developer, you know, said that they don't want to wield such like an enormous budget. So hopefully, you know, a good portion of that money goes to the developers themselves so that mm-hmm. we don't end up with, you know, the Pal World devs overreaching and then having to do layoffs, which just seems like it's the theme for the year and for the past few years. So yeah, just kind of a little update there. You know, they did say that they, the CEO believes that Pocket Pair, which is the developer, isn't structured to handle the scale of the game that that Pal World. Oh my God, handle the scale of the game that Pal World's profits. I don't even think that makes sense.
But it would allow for.
Yes, would allow for. Yeah. So more than $70 million. So quite a bit of cash there for sure. But anyway, yeah, just an update. Pal World's still kicking ass. And even though it's something I haven't played, it's good to see an indie game do so well.
Yeah. It's so funny. Like beyond AAA is such a funny idea, right? You know, I'm joking when I say like quadruple A, but like that's what they're gonna say at some point, right?
Yeah,
it reminds me, if you've ever seen, I think it's There's Something About Mary, Harlan Williams plays a hitchhiker in that movie, right? And there's a point here, and I think Ben Stiller picks up Harlan Williams because they're going to find Mary or whatever, and Harlan Williams like this crazy hitchhiker. He's like, you know that thing, 6 minute abs? Well, I came up with the great idea, 5 minute abs.
Yeah.
So it's just like, and then I think Ben Stiller goes, well, what if somebody comes out with 4 minute abs? He starts like,
he's like, you can't even break a sweat in 4 minutes.
Which I don't know. It's like, well, we're going to get like quintuple A at some point, which would be hilarious. Right. But yeah,
we've got triple I as well. That's something new, right? Well, so
don't even get me started on quadruple I. It's gonna be something else. Quadruple I. That's what they called me in high school when I used to wear my glasses. anyway, we're gonna just move on to the next story because good for Pal World. You know what?
Yeah.
Make your money, enslave your Pokemon or whatever you do in that game. So cool. Yep. Happy for you. Next one I saw, which was kind of interesting because, well, you know, this is the world we live in, the indie, or not even the indie game world, the internet world is, you know, there's always the push and pull of what's woke, what's not woke. Are you okay with woke? Are you not okay with woke? But the interesting thing here is there's this game called Paper Trail, which did have pretty good reviews, right? It's kind of a cute little, I guess, adventure game with like puzzle elements and stuff like that. But it follows the story of a young woman who longs to study the stars at university, right? That's a normal thing, right? Yeah. So there is a Steam page called Woke Content Detector. And it was encouraging people to boycott the game because, and the I think the publisher tweeted, the Woke Content Detector found us. If only we hadn't included a checks notes female character that goes to university. And, you know, as like a little bit of tongue in cheek. But unfortunately, after he tweeted that, they started getting review bombed on Metacritic. And, you know, the Metacritic went from a user review score of 8.0 to 5.4. Now, the good thing is, I think in response to that, a lot of people went on and kind of combated that. And the PS4 and I think the PC scores back up. The the Switch score is not, but it's just a little crazy, right? You know, sure, you can have your beliefs or whatever, but like this game being too woke because a girl goes to college seems a little, I mean, it's not the 1950s, folks, right? I think girls, I think they're allowed to do anything, to be honest.
I think so.
I don't know. I haven't checked, but I thought apparently not. So, yeah, I don't know. This is a little crazy. I mean, it's so stupid, too, because it's an indie game, right? This is not attacking any kind of big corporate entity or anything like that. It's attacking a small little passion project, probably. You know, we can only assume here based on the context of what that game is. So, yeah, I hate to see this kind of stuff, but I'm glad that the community kind of responded.
Yeah, and you know, this is like ridiculous, right? Like that this even is something that happens. Like, games are all about storytelling, right? So whatever story you want to tell, tell that story, and if it resonates with an audience, then good for you. You know, as long as it's not hurting anybody, then who cares, right? At the end of the day, and you know, I also question, like, you know, obviously this has happened before. Review bombing is not a new thing, but it begs the question of, like, are these people allowed to leave reviews? I'm not 100% familiar with Metacritic, but are they allowed to leave reviews without playing the game? Like, do they need to somehow verify that they've played the game, sign in through Steam, whatever it might be? Maybe that's something they need to introduce. Maybe you need to have a certain amount of hours in the game in order to leave a review or a rating on Metacritic. You know, it just kind of seems like maybe if this is something that keeps happening and review bombing, like I said, has been around for a bit, maybe some more kind of restrictions for who can review need to be put in place, just so that it's the, you know, it's hurting these indie devs here. It's like, you know, it's one thing if you're doing this against like Assassin's Creed, right? Where like it's also obviously not great to do that if you haven't played the game, but they're going to take less of a hit on that versus someone that has poured their entire life into a game. And like you said, like this could be a passion project for them. So yeah, just ridiculous. I did see this article and I was like, I don't even know if this is like worth talking about because like it's just so obvious, right? But I'm glad we're talking about it because it's just I'm glad that people also band together to get that score back up for those platforms. And that's also a great part, right, of the internet is that I feel like there's a lot more good than bad. So when stuff like this happens, people are able to see it, come together, and hopefully kind of right that wrong. So, yeah, but just obviously, like, ridiculous. And there's been so many more cases of, like, the quote-unquote woke stuff being, like, slammed over your head than a girl going to college, right? Going to university, right? And, like, I feel like this has gotten more outrage than those things, which, in my mind, I'm like, why? Like, you know, it just... not that I care, but
the mob is crazy, and
they are,
you know, that's just what it is. So,
yeah,
you know, I think to the point about Metacritic, it's a little bit tough, I think, because this has multiple releases, on different platforms because you can't like really check like hours on Switch, hours on PS4 or whatever, PS5, I forget what it is, but it seems it's crazy. So yeah, glad it all worked out in the end. But it's just wild, folks. I mean, even if it's not for you, it's not for you, right? There's a new market in my hometown, right? And we've been like a couple times since they opened, and it's just like this crazy thing. This is like another tangent, but it all makes sense in the end, I promise. And you might have seen, I posted an Instagram story of what they were selling a little half pint tub of guacamole for. $11, right? That's pretty crazy. In my humble opinion, that's a lot of money for a little bit of guacamole. That's like four chips for me. And it's this kind of boutique-y sandwich place that also does like little produce that's way too expensive and yada, yada, yada. And does it make me upset that I can't really go there all the time and like enjoy all those nice things? Maybe a little bit, but you got to take a step back and say, this is not for me. This is for, I mean, Bradley Cooper was there this week with, with Gigi Hadid, right?
Okay.
If I needed any more, like
any proof, more evidence that you're in the wrong place,
I should not be going there. I've been going in there with sweaty gym clothes and it was like $11 guacamole. Yeah. And then Bradley Cooper's in there, you know, whatever, doing whatever he does.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, only $11 for guacamole.
This is a steal. Hey, put up that
stat. Yeah, give him the whole lot.
So, yeah, put it all in perspective, folks. So, yeah. But we got a game to talk about. What do you think? We should talk about this game, Prologue, Hollow Survivors. Let's talk about the idea of Prologue first, I think. Does that make sense?
Yeah, let's do it.
So, I've seen a couple games do this so far, this past year specifically, where it is, and I think even some games that we played had a prologue that we didn't do the prologue, but we just did the main game. I think maybe Time Survivors did this with a prologue.
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
Maybe it's a big Survivors thing, but listen, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And it's kind of like an elevated demo. Right? It's free. You can go play this game to a certain extent. You can test out ideas. It's like a weird combination of a free demo and a free early access. Because it's like obviously a prologue to whatever's to come. Now, it could be a little teasy, I think. Right? Like kind of being like, hey, you know, we're going to have a full game. We don't know when it's going to come out. Here's a prologue for now. And it kind of feels like a full game, but it's not a full game experience. What's your take on these prologues? Is this kind of a really good way to approach like early access and demos and stuff like that?
Yeah, I honestly think, you know, to me, every time I see a prologue, I'm like, okay, this is basically a demo, right, of the game. And I'm not sure, but I'm going to guess that there is some sort of benefit to having a prologue instead of a demo because it's technically a separate listing on Steam. It shows as free. So when people are looking at recently released games, they're going to see this show up there versus if you just had a demo, you would have to, I think, just be in the demo section of Steam to see that show up. So I think there's also a benefit there of maybe you can get more eyes on your game if you have a prologue. Now, in my mind, these survivor type games, it's a little weird to have a prologue because I think of prologue as something that's story based, right?
Yeah.
That there's like maybe, you know, you get the first chapter of a story. So I view this as more of a demo, but I like that they do it. I mean, however way I can play a game for free and try it out, I'm all for. And this game, you know, it is coming out in Q4, so it's not too far away. So I think them doing a demo would have also made sense. You know, I could see maybe prologues being used if the game was a little bit further out so that people could maybe play it, you know, separately in their Steam library than if it was just a demo. But yeah, I don't mind prologues. I do think it's, you know, there's got to be some sort of benefit on the marketing side of things to having a prologue versus having a demo. So that's what I think the main reason is, but I'm not 100% sure if that's how, you know, it works.
Yeah, it could be, you know, it could really be that you mentioned there's like a lot of stuff to like try to like wage your way through if you want to find a game or even have a game be found, right? It's like it's not that easy. And that could be definitely the way they use these prologues as a vehicle to do that. Now, I do think for this style of game, and we'll get into like the gameplay and stuff like that, but this style of game, a prologue kind of makes sense. Like this kind of extended demo thing makes sense mm-hmm. because it's not you have the engine built, right? And it's a matter of what you flesh it out with. So they can give you like 30% of it, and the other 70% they need to flesh out, right? Like the of the depth of like strategy and like different kinds of upgrades and weapons and characters and yeah. even like your cosmetics and stuff like that. It's kind of a interesting way to get people hooked, because then you're like, well, that was kind of fun to kind of like go through that, but like I wanted a little bit more depth, and then, you know, now I can't wait for the actual game. So I don't know.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting.
I'm also not sure if maybe the way that updates work is a little bit different with prologues versus demos, because I'm trying to remember. I don't know if I've ever had a demo on Steam that had an update, but I've definitely had prologues that have had updates. So yeah, maybe to like to your point, prologues might be a little bit easier for the developers to, you know, to get that feedback from the players and then make those updates a little bit more quickly than maybe they could with a demo. I'm not sure like the restrictions on both, but that could be another reason as well of why they're doing it. But I do think it works pretty well for this game, though, having a prologue, because we're kind of getting that slice of the game. And there's clearly not, you know, I think there's a lot more depth with the game planned. But I know you might have more to say about that with like the dev vlog that you've watched. But we'll get into that.
Oh, no. I mean, so for anybody curious, there is a dev vlog that the dev kind of was doing leading up to the original demo of the game, because I guess there was an original demo and now this prologue is an official release, but kind of like explaining their thought process about some things. They built the engine and then are like, well, we need a reason to be fighting these enemies, and these enemies don't like, shouldn't just be generic or whatever. My character mm-hmm. shouldn't be generic. How do I break out of the generic kind of survivor like kind of thing that we're seeing here? So we can put that in the show notes as well. I put a link in our show notes, but I don't want to click it open because it's going to make some noise. So <Yeah. laughs> but the gameplay, though, it's kind of something that I really like, to be honest, right? So I like Vampire Survivors. I even actually just put it back on my phone to kind of mess around with Vampire Survivors. And I like these survivor likes, right? But there's always that missing kind of skill check that I tend to enjoy in games, right? And by skill check, I mean, you know, dodging and doing all this other kind of stuff that you see in a lot of roguelikes. I mean, Hades is a great example. Yeah. You know, dodging and using different kind of attacks and whatever. Now, this game, this prologue here, has a lot of the I guess characteristics of like vampire, a survivor like, right? Where the enemies, you're just like on a flat plane, the enemies are coming in and they're spawning and you have to kill them, right? You're running around on this kind of, you know, top down map as well.
Sorry, did we mention the name of the game?
I know we're saying prologue. Okay. Hollow Survivors Prologue. I think maybe we never did.
We said prologue.
Yeah. Check the title of the episode, folks. That's what it's called.
But go ahead. Sorry. I just was like, free. I don't know if we said it. Yeah.
It is free. The developers, Danny Deer, published by Game Pair, Games Incubator, Playway, SA, and it's on Steam. It's like a dungeon crawler, right? You're going from room to room rather than just like an open world-ish kind of thing, map like Vampire Survivors. You are in a tower, right? And you're trying to reach the top of the tower. You're ascending each time. You're going up every time you beat the appropriate amount of creatures in a room. I guess it's like a wave. It's just like wave-based, right? You beat a wave and then a flight of stairs shows up. You can go up it. Sometimes you'll get like a reward for beating the level. Now, you don't get like a spider-like map like you wouldn't like Slay the Spire, where you have a choice where you go next. You're just always going straight up, right? So you only have one way to go. And you're running around and you have a dodge, you have a melee attack, and then you have a ranged magic attack that recharges as you hit, you know, the enemies with your melee attacks. You have a health bar or a kind of health like little icons as well. And when you die, you go back to your base and there's a shop where you can get upgrades, permanent upgrades. There is a place where you can kind of unlock new weapons. There is a cosmetic area as well. And then, you know, you go back up and you try to do it again. Now, every couple levels, probably every like four levels, you run into like a boss, boss battle.
I think the first one was level 5.
Level 5, you run into a boss battle, which was interesting and challenging. And not every level do you get an upgrade, but it seems like every other level or something like that. And if you're watching the YouTube video right now, you can see that there's upgrades. And it's kind of like the classic roguelike. Here's three options. You choose one. They're all going to kind of help a certain kind of build that you're going for or kind of thing that you're trying to do. Maybe you want to focus more on spells. Maybe you want to be a berserker. And every time you get hit, you're going to have a damage boost and stuff like that. So it's a pretty clean roguelike-y experience, right? And I do think it's fun, and the skill check is there. There is some clunkiness there as well sometimes, but it's not overbearing. It doesn't make it unplayable or anything like that. It's certainly something that I would like to see worked on for the main release. You know, kind of just have a little bit more fluidity with the movement and stuff like that. Now, you can obviously upgrade your movement as you go on, but I think some base movement fluidity would be nice. And I don't know, I like the different kinds of characters or enemies that you face as well. I enjoyed the gameplay. It was fun. It was serving its purpose.
Yeah, I agree. I had a good time with this one, and I actually went into it without looking at any gameplay. Like, you, I know you had sent it over, and I just I just sat back on the couch. I played through my Steam Link on the TV, and I was like, "Oh, this is a survivor like," mm-hmm. which is cool. So yeah, I really enjoyed the gameplay overall. It's also, you know, obviously everyone's always thinking of like Vampire Survivors with a game like this. It's not really like that, where there's like hordes of enemies, right? It's a lot more calculated with like how you're attacking things. It's more like Hades in that way, or like 33 Immortals even, where like you're having to dodge attacks, and then you're strategically attacking the enemies so that you're taking the least amount of damage that you can. Because there's also not, you know, in Vampire Survivors, like you can find heals and things of that nature. I didn't find any while I was playing. There are permanent upgrades that you can get that can increase your health. And then, you know, I'm sure there's some skills that will pop up that are, you know, will affect your health as well. I think there actually are, where like some of them are like, if you take damage, you have like a 15% chance to like get a heart or half a heart or something like that. So there are ways to get health, but it's definitely not like Vampire Survivors where you're going to be looking for health in those levels. The levels are definitely smaller, and it doesn't really have that endless feel like you mentioned, where, you know, I actually don't know. This is something I was trying to figure out as I was playing, because there's that bar on the top that we see is getting filled up. And every enemy you kill, like you get some sort of like essence that kind of helps fill up that bar. And once you fill that up, that's when you can move on to the next level. But you can get skills that help increase the amount of like essence that you get. So I know I was trying to stack a few of those, and I was like, you know, there were definitely times where I would move on to the next level without killing all the enemies. Yeah, so like there was like they would just die as soon as the bar filled up. So it made me, at least for that run, I was like, all right, like if I'm close to filling up a bar, like I'm going to just try to go ham and kill a bunch of enemies so that like I get rid of all these, like, you know, all these other enemies that are around me right now. So that was interesting as well. And then also, I don't know if this is in other games, but it's the first time I've seen it where you're actually kind of like punished for choosing an upgrade in the same category So if you choose like a combat upgrade, for example, I don't know the exact names. If you go to choose another combat upgrade the next time, it'll tell you that that one will be less effective because you already have one. So that's kind of interesting. That's also different than Vampire Survivors, where maybe you're trying to stack upgrades on the same item so that you can, you know, get the strongest possible item. So that was interesting. It kind of made me really think about, okay, if I choose a combat one right now, or if I choose a spell-based one right now, I have to make sure that like there's not going to be a better spell-based one later. So like you just kind of have to do that little kind of like give and take, I guess you could say, for that. So yeah, overall, I really enjoyed the gameplay. You know, I do think there is a little bit of clunkiness with the character itself. I don't know if it's because, I don't know, the character felt a little big as well at certain times. But it seemed like the hitbox wasn't as big as like the actual character, because there were definitely a few times where I was like, I probably should have got hit there by like that projectile, and it did not hit me. So maybe like there's a little fine tuning they could do with that, and maybe just kind of, you know, give your character a little bit more of a realistic hitbox, or shrink the character a little bit. I don't know, weird stuff with that I, you know, maybe it's more on the art side, but it did kind of affect the gameplay as well. And then, yeah, the boss battles, you know, I did one of them on level 5 because I couldn't make it to the next one, because this game is like, it's not that easy, right?
It's Punisher.
Like, yeah, you need to pay attention a lot more than like if you're playing Vampire Survivors and you're just kind of killing time. This is not one of those games in my mind where you're just going to boot it up just to kill some time. You're going to, you know, you're going to have to pay attention when you're playing. So, yeah, I really enjoyed it. It surprised me quite a bit, actually, like the systems in the game. The enemies in the game are all kind of nice and unique with what they do, and with their looks as well. And we'll talk about the art. But yeah, excited actually for the full release of this game in Q4. This prologue did a good job of getting me excited.
Yeah, absolutely. And I definitely agree. And that's something that I meant to bring up with the hitbox as well. But also, you mentioned, you know, like maybe like a projectile should have hit you. One thing that's very cool about this is it does get a little bullet helly, right? At certain times, and you can see on the gameplay if you're watching. But your sword dissipates the bullets or the energy thing, so you can attack projectiles sometimes, which is also, it's just like a little thing like that. Like, obviously shows that they're thinking about that kind of stuff, which would definitely made me a little giddy. I was like, oh, I can start just like playing defense a little bit, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, so, you can even get an upgrade too. I got it once that will deflect the bullets when you hit them.
Really?
And you can actually deal like a good amount of damage, which is pretty cool. Also, I don't know if I mentioned just real quick, the gameplay you're watching is from Kingpin Gamer on YouTube. So shout out to Kingpin Gamer for this gameplay. I'll put their link in the description of the episode as well, but just wanted to give some credit there. This is not us playing, so don't judge us.
And you know, to touch on the upgrade system of like kind of not I don't know if it's punishing you, right? It is punishing, right? To pick the same over and over again, right? It gets weaker and weaker and weaker. But I think based on how this game is, and like I know that you're kind of traveling up a tower to get to the top, you're trying to completely ascend, much like Haunty, to throw back to that. But, you know, there's going to be a point where you might have one of every kind of upgrade. So like, you're going to get to a point where like you're going to have to make decisions like which one is the best. It makes the decision making pretty interesting. So very cool. Now, in terms of story, it is only the prologue. and the prologue is, well, you're trying to ascend up this tower, right? You are a hollow one, and a cool little character design thing. This is probably more with the art, and it's something that I actually saw in some of the devlogs. Was like, well, what does it mean to be a hollow one? Well, you got horns, you got white hair, and you have a hole in your chest. And that is part of the character design. There is a big hole in your chest, which is kind of, you're hollow. that's pretty cool. So not a lot of story here. You got some interesting characters. You find some, you know, on your runs, which is typical of these roguelites sometimes, where you have like a base with these shops. sometimes you have to find the shopkeeper before you even can start doing the stuff with the shopkeeper. So that was cool.
Are there shopkeepers you can find in the levels?
So I found the one.
Because I didn't find any.
You didn't find any?
Honestly, I stayed in like, I just kind of kept like circling the same area. I didn't explore a ton.
No, because I went up a flight of stairs and then this dude was like chained up.
Oh, yes. No, that did happen to me as well. That's the one I did find.
That's always pretty cool. And the characters, that they have personality, and your character has a bit of personality too, which is cool. The story's totally there. Would like to see how far they take it with the full release of this game, though, because the foundation's really built here. Really cool character design that like goes along with like this whole like it's like, and we'll get to this in the art and the sound, but it is a very vibey environment, right? It doesn't feel super, even like Hades and stuff like that, it can feel very anxiety inducing or something like that. This feels a little bit more like, you know, this is not as high stakes. Because guess what? You're just a hollow one. If you fail, you get to start over. And I thought that was kind of a cool atmosphere that they created for whatever this story is going to be, rather than supporting it through art and sound. So that was my take on the story.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, there's not too much to talk about with the story here. A few suggestions of what I would like to see is like, it'd be great if there was maybe a little bit more story elements when you get to the boss levels, maybe a little bit more about them and maybe why you're kind of fighting them. Also, you know, the first boss you come across, at least I don't know if this changes, but every time I got to the first boss, it was a giant skull head. It's the daddy. Oh, it's actually on the screen right there. It's the Skull King. That's the daddy of the little skull. So it'd be interesting to get a little bit more background and like, you know, why are these skulls here at all? That person perished pretty quickly. Skull. If you get hit by the Skull King, it does hurt quite a bit. So I recommend dodging when you can. But basically just a little bit more story around the bosses would be cool. There is some dialogue there, like you mentioned, with like the sanctuary area, which is nice. It's not a very story driven game, but there's a lot of, or at least in the prologue, but there's a lot of heart in it that you can see, like there's potential for some story elements. So, yeah, I'm excited to see what they do with the full game, but not a ton from my side to really talk about with the story.
Yeah. And, you know, I mentioned already, the atmosphere that they created, especially through the art here, is actually really, really, really good looking, right? I really liked playing this game, and even like watching some videos, because like, I mentioned I watched some of the devlog. It just is a very good looking game, very pixel art, but a lot of intention behind the things. When you're looking at upgrades at the bottom, you have the icon for what kind of upgrade it is. It'll tell you if it's rare or epic or whatever, which I always get a little excited because it's like, oh, is this a deck builder? It's not quite, but, you know, in a way it is. Adding certain passive effects to my deck, which is just a person running around with the sword. But it is a really good-looking game. I mean, I can't really, honestly, like we mentioned the hitbox thing, and that really... If you take that out of consideration, this is an awesome, beautiful game. Honestly, I love the kind of dark tones that we're getting now. We don't get pretty far into the game, so the environments can change. But I would be interested to see how the environments change, kind of in this like spooky forest, right? But mystical. It's also it feels like a Midsummer's Night Dream almost, right? Yeah. So. Really good. Love the character design here. The enemy design. I was wondering at first, is like, oh, we're only going to get a couple different kinds of enemies. And then the new enemies start showing up, and I'm like, oh, these are really cool. And the way that they do whatever their ability is super cool as well, and with like, yeah, really great animations. So a lot to really love here.
Yeah, agreed. Honestly, one of my favorite things regarding the enemies is like these skull guys. And even after you beat the boss, there's actually other enemies that have the same sort of pattern, but they do this dash and there's this like bright red neon line that they, you know, it uses this bright red neon for like when it's summoning enemies, for these projectiles you're seeing on screen, but then also for those skull guys that are doing this dash. So it's really easy to see when they're going to dash and to kind of, you know, dash or dodge them when you can. And like I said, there's other enemies after you beat the first boss that kind of do a larger dash and they do it more often. And yeah, I just think that's a nice little touch there to kind of give a little pop of color, right, in this world that's like very kind of purpley monotone or monochromatic, I guess you could say, with like the purples. But one thing I really do love about the art as well, and this is also kind of like ties in, I guess, to the gameplay side of things, is when you beat a level, the stairs appear wherever you are. Mm-hmm. So that is a really nice little touch there where like you're immediately like, it got to the point where, you know, I was prepared for the next level. So like, as soon as I beat it, I just like went right up this, you know, you just go. So it's so fluid getting to the next level. And then there's this cool like perspective change that kind of happens as you go up the stairs, and you'll see it in the gameplay. And when I first saw that, like my brain a little bit was like, whoa, like what is happening here? And then I realized that happens every time you go up the stairs because you're ascending, so it makes sense that you're actually like kind of going up and there's that little slight like perspective change. So that was a really cool touch with the art as well. And then I also think that when you're in the sanctuary, you know, the menus make sense. It's, you know, everything, even though it's like pixel art and using the pixel text and all that sort of stuff, all that sort of stuff makes sense. And I love the dialogue. We're seeing it right here where like it shows the person you're talking to, and then it shows their dialogue box, but it's not like it takes up the whole screen. It's just right near where that person is. So I enjoyed that, you know, that made sense. You know, you can see some of the art with the menus right here on screen. It's not just the basic menu. They got the little potions and little kind of coins around. And yeah, they, you know, there's a little character involved with the menus, which is nice. But yeah, overall, I mean, the art, like it just, it's great. Overall, like it's just a great pixel art game. And I'm hoping when the game comes out, there are other environments that we can explore, brighter environments, you know, weird. I'm looking, like it'd be cool if there was like a green slimy kind of environment, something with like you know, some interesting stuff there. Yeah, so a lot of cool ideas could be had with this one, but really enjoyed like the art for the game overall. It just yeah, it just makes sense. Even, and just one more thing that we're seeing on screen right now that I just remembered is like, when you're in the sanctuary, it's kind of pointing you a certain direction. There's this little like 3D-ish triangle that like flips around and points you to the right direction. I was like, oh, that's like so much better than just having like a compass on the screen or just not having that at all. Just kind of guiding you in the right direction, which is nice. So yeah, the art's killer in the game for sure.
Yeah, you can also, you know, if you're watching and you're, you know, you can cut the grass with your sword, which is pretty cool. You know, the person playing didn't just do that, but like I was doing that. I was like, oh, this is like Zelda.
Yeah.
I remember cutting grass in Zelda, and I cut my grass today. It was very hot.
Oh, but with a sword?
Not with a sword. That would be way cooler, but it'd take a lot longer. But also when you go up those stairs as well, you get killed, right? You get like spiked and character explodes. And then your like soul goes to the next level, which is kind of cool. Nice little touch. And, you know, to round it out with the whole atmospheric thing going on here, and it's almost a shame that this doesn't have a soundtrack out yet, and I'm hoping that it will with the main release, because the soundtrack's awesome. I think it's super vibey, ambient. You know, it makes you feel like you're hanging out in this little mellow forest with like little spirits running around and like, you know, what do you call those little like glowing things? I mean, they're not lightning bugs in this, but like,
yeah, little like fairy, yeah, things, like fairies, or something.
Like spirits. Yeah, it's, yeah. It feels so like relaxing, to be honest, which, you know, the gameplay can be pretty intense at certain points, like when you're like dodging around, especially during the boss fights, or if you let the enemies in the level kind of get out of control, excuse me, and like get around you, like it can get pretty intense, but like the music, yeah. It adds a nice contrast. Like, I think it can be nice to have music that adds to the anxiety, but I think there's such thing as contrasting as well. And I think this nails it very well. So, yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. It's a great vibe playing the game. And there were definitely times in the gameplay itself where, you know, yeah, things are getting a little stressful. You're at half a heart and you just got things swarming all around you, projectiles coming every way. But the music is always kind of like centering you, I guess you could say, and helping you focus almost in a way. I enjoyed the soundtrack, and then all the sound effects in the game too. You know, they work pretty well. The sword sounds good. You know, defeating enemies, there's like a, and maybe this is more on the gameplay side as well, but I'm sure there's some sound involved. There's like a, when you're defeating enemies, there's a tactileness, like you're feeling like you're actually like crushing these skulls and defeating these enemies. So that's definitely great too. You know, they did a good job with that. I mean, overall, even the boss music was great. You know, getting in there, you realize you're about to start a boss fight. They did a good, I don't have a lot of notes with the music because it is just great. Excited to see kind of what they do if they end up having different environments for some of the other levels too.
Yeah. And one specific sound effect that resonated with me was when you get a reward, it gives you this nice little ding, like a nice little chime, and you're just like, ooh, a reward. Which we've talked about a lot, like how much obviously this is a classic game, like Ocarina of Time. Like when you get something cool, you get a little sound bite with it. It does wonders for your experience with the game. So kudos for this little prologue, John, right here. Performance wise, I didn't have any issues. I can't imagine having many issues. What about you?
Yeah, no issues on my end. Like I said, I played through the Steam Link, so obviously that's based on my internet speed and all that, but still no issues whatsoever. You know, I'm hoping this game makes it to Switch. I don't know what their plans are in terms of consoles, but I think it could easily run on the Switch as well. No issues at all. And I know it's a prologue, and we did not talk about this before, but are we giving a rating to this? Because I'm happy to. But what do you think, Tommy? Should we do it?
I think so, because I think if you look at the Steam page, reviews are a full go on this thing, right?
True.
People are reviewing it. So
yeah, I think because it's a prologue, it's a separate listing. That's another benefit of having a prologue. Yeah, you get some reviews.
I mean, as long as it's good. Yeah. Like, imagine if it's bad. They're like, actually, it's a demo. It's a demo. Yeah. we'll get to the rating here, which should be cool. And, you know, you mentioned the Switch. You know, for the first, playing this game for the first time, I think, ever, like, I have a Switch, right, and I played a lot, and to be honest, I was like playing this game, I was like, maybe I'll just get a Steam Deck.
Oh yeah, right? I've been thinking about doing the same thing, to be honest,
because I'm like, I mean, like, man, obviously, like, the Switch is great for a lot of things, especially like the Nintendo based IPs, but like, maybe a Steam Deck is in my future, who knows, we'll see.
Oh, getting steamy.
They're getting a little steamy. So our review has concluded, and it's time for our rating. Our rating system goes as follows: our best games ever, our certified fresh juice, these are your NORP apologues, your Balatros of the world, a steal, these are Pal World. No, not Pal World. No.
Pal World.
The
Cub. That's it.
The Cub. Yeah. Is what the I Cub. Meant. Things like that nature. We like last week I gave it a steal, but you did not.
Yeah, Dungeons of Hinterburg. Dungeons of Hinterburg. But then we did give a steal to Angerfoot. That's our most recent double
steal.
We
both gave it a steal on that one. Yes. Okay, cool, yeah, cool. Angerfoot would be a steal. Get on sale. A lot of games fall into this category. They have negatives and positives to them. You know, be wary when you go into it. Manager special, you know, is your, like our D tier. There might be something there. There's some redeeming qualities. Maybe it's super focused on a certain kind of genre, and if you're really into that genre, it's worth checking out. And then finally, Spoiled Milk, games that we don't want to recommend to anybody. Matthew? Matty Juice?
Yeah.
What's your rating for Hollow Survivors Prologue?
So for Hollow Survivors Prologue, I'm giving this a strong steal. And the only reason I'm not giving it a certified fresh juice is just because it's a prologue. You know, when the full game comes out, this could easily be in certified fresh juice territory when we get the full kind of feature set. But I'm giving this a steal. You know, it's free. I really don't see a reason for people to not try this out if you are into those survivor-like sort of games. I think this is a really interesting one, and I think it's worth your time. So I'm giving it a steal.
Yeah, I am. I'm also going to give it a steal, and probably for a lot of the same reasons here, because yeah, I could see you not playing a ton of it because you're like, well, I want to save my experience for the full release. But if you're into being on the ground floor for something, this is something that I would definitely look at. There's a lot of cool things going on. Not only if you're into survivor likes, like Maddie mentioned, but also if you're into like Hades and stuff like that, there's a lot of that kind of thing going on here. And, or even some bullet hell esque things. It's not super, you know, bullet hell-y, yeah, but it can get like that at certain points. There's a lot of depth to be had, and hopefully we'll come out with this. So I'm very excited to see where this game goes. I'm glad that I caught it on Steam and we were able to kind of play it and review it. So, yeah, I think this is the beginning of something that could be really, really positive and possibly a certified fresh juice in the future. Don't know if we'll do a full review of the actual Hollow Survivors, but I won't write it off. You know, we'll at least touch on it when it comes out. So, cool game. Next week we have a game called Preserve, which is, I don't even know how you explain that. It's going to be a unique one, folks. You're going to want to tune in for that. Preserve's going to be pretty crazy. That might be game of the year, honestly. Or it could be a Spoiled Milk. We don't know yet. We haven't played it. but you know what we do know?
Well, Tell me.
We have listener questions. And if you're in the Discord, you can just submit questions away. Listen, even if you don't catch every episode, which we hope you do, if you don't catch every episode and you're like, you know what, it'd be nice to just have a question answered. Sometimes I just want questions answered. Hop in. We'll give any question a fair shot. And the first one is a doozy, and I think that both Maddie and I are going to have way different answers on this one. Comes from Capolo, a.k.a. the question bot. What's your best quick and easy advice to save money?
Yeah, so I would just say stop spending on everything. Don't pay credit card bills. And honestly, if I'm given an honest answer for this, I don't know if this is a quick way, but it's been pretty easy. I might have mentioned it on the podcast before, but my wife and I use a tool called, it's literally called You Need a Budget. It's a website, YNAB.com. You do have to pay like yearly for it. I think it's like $100 a year, which really, you know, isn't that bad in the scope of all the other subscriptions we kind of have in today's world. And basically what it lets you do is you connect your bank accounts, and it works a little differently from other budgeting apps because you actually assign categories to every single dollar in your bank account. I feel like I'm doing an ad for them right now, but it really has been great. I've been using it for almost a year, and I was always pretty bad at like saving money. You know, I would like use my savings pretty often, be like, oh, I'll just use my savings to like pay this credit card bill or whatever. But I would always plateau, right? I would never actually like build up savings. So since I started using this, I'm actually building up savings, which is great. And what's really cool about it is, like I said, you're setting categories for all the different dollars in your bank account and then incoming money, where then you actually stop kind of thinking of money as like something that comes in monthly or like every other week, because YNAB has like a system that shows like the age of your money. Basically, if you ran, you know, if you lost your job today, this is how many days you have left to buy everything that you have a category for. So like I'm at like 100 days right now. So like basically if I didn't have anything else, lost all my money, I could survive for 100 days, I guess, in a way. I mean, it doesn't directly mean that. But I've got categories for everything in there, like tropical vacation. I'm putting, you know, I want to have a goal of next year, let's just say, to save $1,000 for a tropical vacation. So in YNAB, it's like, oh, you know, I got to put $15 a month into that little fund there. And then when that tropical vacation comes around, oh my God, I've saved $1,000. I can go ahead and use that. I've got Once Human is in there. I've got $30 a month set aside for Once Human cosmetics or anything else that I want to get in Once Human. I've got all these other categories in here, food and takeout, you know, your groceries, even like a new fence that we're getting, like a dog, like all this sort of stuff. And you can just save, you know, however much you want, but it's all set in these categories. And basically you can kind of think of it as like all these categories are like separate bank accounts in your one bank account. So you're like building up your money in all these different categories. And whenever you need that category, if you want a new fence, let's say, oh, you've been saving up for it for so long, and this is how much you have in that new fence category. So anyway, I know it's a long explanation, but this thing, it's been great for us. And what's awesome about it too, is that when you sign up, like I'm technically paying for it, but you can invite five of your friends to this platform as well, and they don't have to pay. They get full access. They get their own accounts. So that's what my wife uses. She's got her own account, but it's like on my account. So I've been telling people, I'm like, hey, you know, I've got some extra seats. Also, I do have a referral link too. If anyone's interested in that, I can give you my referral link and you can sign up on your own account if you don't want to be on mine, all that stuff. But anyway, it's been pretty cool. So I've been very happy with it, and it makes me feel finally like not guilty about spending money for things that like I want, you know what I mean? So anyway, long answer, Capolo, that's how you do it. That's not quick. It's definitely not easy, but it works. Tom, tell them what to do.
Well, first of all, please go to ynab.com/freshjuicepod, enter promo code freshyweshy. So I am in a different camp, I think.
Go for it.
I don't think I can. I am, and I understand this is a personal problem and probably not good, but I believe that I can't take my money with me, right? And yep. If I have kids, I don't want them to have it either. No. So I don't know. Like I don't spend willy-nilly, that's for sure. I do spend when I want to, right? You know, I am very much in the mindset of like, oh, adult money. It's nice to have adult money. That's cool. Yeah. But I also, you know, because I'm like that, I also make decisions on the everyday stuff a little bit more consciously. And that's just kind of what I do, right? I say $11 for a little thing of guacamole. Maybe just today. No, okay. you know, I try to get value. I go to Costco and I'm like, I'm doing the math. I'm like, oh, that's only $1 per monster can. I'm spending $3 per monster can at 7-Eleven every day, right?
Yeah, and I can get a hot dog too.
Shout out to the $1.50 hot dog combo, Costco. You beautiful people. Yes, that's what I do. Mine's just kind of like a, you know, we'll see how it goes. And then, you know, I also, you know, I think I know where I'm at with spending in terms of what I can, right? I always try to know what I can do.
Yeah.
And then if I make like a big purchase, I try to scale back for a bit, right? So I try to, you know. And then I also make excuses for things. So I'm not the person to talk to. Matt's way better. Go to ynab.com/juicywoosie and have a good time.
Yeah, honestly. And it's not even like I try to stick to the YNAB categories, but like I'll be on like my food takeout category. I am consistently depleting that. And then when you deplete it, and then if you bought something in that category, you have to like, you have to be like, oh, I overspent here. I need to cover it with like my Amazon cat or my groceries category. Mm-hmm. So I'm not very good at it either. There's still impulsive things that I buy. But it's just helped overall with like mainly like bigger things for like the house. Like we were, I really started it because we were looking to get a new fence. So I was like, all right, I need to make sure that I save enough money for like something this important. But for like the smaller stuff, like food or like, you know, I don't know. I even have a PAX East budget. Look at that. So when we go to PAX, I'll be like, I'm buying everyone dinner because I've been saving for 2 years.
I don't know about that. Clip it.
Yeah. I don't know about that. But no, it's yeah. So it just, you know, I try, you know, and it's sometimes it can still be confusing, but it has helped quite a bit. But you know, we're all victims of the gut reaction, right? When it comes to buying things, if you're like, I see a lot of value out of this, I'm buying it. We've all done that, you know.
Also, I'm getting married, so it's a little bit hard to save money right now. And yeah. I believe the person that asked the question is also getting married, which might be why Popolo's asking the question. Listen, it's not an easy time to save money when you're getting married. I'll tell you that. So, don't sweat it too much, I would say. Next question comes from Kaymore, who asks, you get 3 wishes. What are they? You can't wish for more wishes.
I wish for less wishes. No. I get 3 wishes. What are they? Can't wish for more wishes. All right. Well, I guess there should be a financial one. There should be a you know, a good deed one. And then there should be a fun one. So I'm going to go with, let me see. I wish that all of my stocks, you know, had a 10 times return tomorrow. That's okay. There we go. And then I could just cash them out. And then I'll be fine, I guess. I don't know if 10 times, I should have done a higher number, I guess.
Probably
maybe
high,
yeah, maybe times. Like a million times. Yeah, we'll go with a million times. And then second one, I wish there were no, you know, homeless people, I guess. You know, everyone should have a roof over their head. Then a fun one, I wish Fresh Juice was the biggest podcast on the planet. There we go.
Dude, those are great wishes. I was going to be way more selfish. first wish, I wish I was 6 inches taller. Boom. Right?
I thought you were going with something else there for a second.
Well, listen, I'm hoping that has...
Second wish.
I hope it has, you know, lasting effects that help everything. 6 inches taller. Boom. First wish. Genie's like, all right, that makes sense. Second wish, I wish that I can control water. I want to be able to control water. I think it would be the sickest kind of superhero power, and I think I could do a lot of good with it. I can also do a lot of bad with it. It's up to what's really within me, right? And then the third wish, I wish that I have a $1 billion. I don't even care about my stocks. I don't even have stocks. I want $1 billion. Give me a dollar.
Yeah, that works.
And and I don't want I will have to put a caveat. I don't want the $1 billion that I get to affect inflation whatsoever, because I don't want other people to suffer for me having $1 billion. And I would help people with some of the jillions. So those are my wishes. Thank you, Kaymore, the genie, which you shall be now called. Please change your Discord name to Kaymore the Genie, or we will do it for you. Next question comes from R. Carp, who asked, Michael Jackson has a video game where he is the main character, or was the main character. Dead. What musician would you like to see star in their own game, and what kind of game would it be?
All right. Well, this one, as you might be able to guess, is probably easy. I'm going to say Eminem would be a cool game, you know.
Sure.
I don't know. Yeah, it could be, you know, it could. That's it. You're a chocolate
candy
Eminem.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you're rapping in the game. What kind of game would it be? I'm just thinking of like the Rock Band microphone and doing something with that. That's probably not a good game. Maybe it would be like a roguelike deck builder, because that's what everything is.
Go ahead.
Yeah. And I don't know. I guess I'll go with that. I can't really think of anything else. Go ahead. What was there more?
Okay, roguelike deck builder, your M&M.
Yeah.
Each card is a rhyme or a beat. And you have to, there's different synergies with the different kind of rhymes and maybe disses and beats and instruments that you use in your thing. And then maybe album cover is like some kind of, you know, so you're trying to build the best deck, which is going to be an album.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. That would be pretty cool. Yeah, yo, check out my album. Oh, that's a cool idea. Actually.
Here's the
that's
seed. You guys can play it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. That's a good idea. Boom. What about you, Tommy? What are you thinking?
So my favorite band is a band called Trampled by Turtles. So I think it would just be a form of Frogger, where instead of cars, it is turtles. And there's a lot of bluegrass music. And yeah, it's just that. But like each, you can get each band member and they'll have a different ability, what they're good at. Like lead singer, guitar player, it's going to be like your Mario, right? It's going to be kind of well-rounded. Your bass player is going to have better defense. Your fiddle player is going to be super fast, but you know, maybe not the best defense. So something like that. Banjo player is going to be able to do like crazy tricks and stuff like that. So that would be pretty cool. I like Frogger. Frogger is a great concept for a game.
It is.
I mean, like Frogger, classic game, right? And we have like one of the biggest, I guess, mobile games ever, Crossy Roads. It's just Frogger, like unlimited Frogger. And that's like at Dave and Buster's now.
Yeah.
We replaced Frogger with Crossy Roads, but it's still Frogger.
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to play a video game. Frogger is a video game. I used to play a computer game, Frogger, where you would go through levels. Do you remember that computer game?
I think I do. Yeah. I don't. Was it Frogger?
It was like
branded as Frogger?
It was like Frogger's response to like Mario 64.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Yeah, I do kind of remember that. I mean, I remember playing a lot of Frogger. I don't know where I played it really, but I definitely played quite a bit of it. And yeah, definitely an underrated game. And I get it. A chicken crossing the road makes sense, right? Crossy road. But I want to be a frog. You know, I want to be jumping on logs, jumping on lily pads. I don't want to be crossing a road.
Bring back that IP. Bring back the Frogger IP.
Yeah, I agree.
Put Frogger in Smash.
Yeah. Get me different types. Like your different turtles. Get me different types of frogs, different abilities, you know? Give me roguelike Frogger.
Oh, dude.
Oh, God. That sounds my head. So cool. It does sound pretty cool, actually.
That sounds freaking awesome. Yeah. Frogger's sick. I want to see, and this is we'll say our goodbyes. We'll do the rec room computer game. Do you remember the Hot Wheels computer games?
Yes. Oh my God, I love those.
They were so good.
Yeah, they have Hot Wheels games on Xbox. I know, but I don't know if it's the same as the computer games. But there was a free one, I think, where you could race like Mario Kart.
Oh, really?
But it's Hot Wheels. But yes, I love those computer games. Oh, they were awesome.
You would just do like flips. Yeah, like you'd build ramps, or like the levels would have ramps. God, there were some bangers back on like Windows 98.
Oh yeah.
My God. Well, that's gonna do it for the show, folks. We do have the rec room where we recommend something that perhaps isn't an indie game, and then we're gonna say our true goodbyes, Matthew. Are you mentioning a movie?
Yes, I am. So this weekend, I forgot to mention this in the ketchup, but in the mustard, my wife and I went to go see Deadpool and Wolverine this weekend. Now, for a while there, I was like pretty into like the Marvel movies and stuff. But for a while, it's been like, I don't really care that much. When it comes to like Deadpool and like even Wolverine, I mean, Logan was great. I just like watching Deadpool because it's R-rated, and He breaks the fourth wall quite a bit. And this movie was very much like a fan service movie where like there was just so many things that were done that you just were, you know, if you've seen like the old Deadpools or if you've seen X-Men, it just was so funny. And that was really it. Like, I just like going to the movies and like just laughing my ass off. So it was a great movie for that. Probably not my favorite like Deadpool movie. Like it's hard to beat the first one in my mind, but still a great one. And it's honestly like a pretty solid trilogy of like superhero-ish movies. And now Deadpool and Wolverine are technically in like the MCU. So I am personally hoping, because I also like Spider-Man, it's probably Spider-Man and Deadpool are like two kind of heroes, if you want to say that, about Deadpool, that I like watching their movies more than others. So I'm hoping that Deadpool ends up having some sort of cameo in a Spider-Man movie or vice versa, because I know that they have a lot of kind of crossover with the comics. And I know Deadpool is like obsessed with like the Avengers and Spider-Man specifically. So would be funny to kind of see them interact there. But yeah, it was a good movie. Good to see Hugh Jackman back as Wolverine too, which was cool. But yeah, it was just a fun time. So I recommend Deadpool and Wolverine if you're into the Deadpool movies. It's another great addition.
Yeah, I do want to see it. I think I might like the second Deadpool more because it had that kid from Hunt for the Wilder People.
Was great too. Yeah.
Yeah. He's just so funny. So I definitely want to check it out. And I keep seeing the Channing Tatum clip yeah. this movie, which, I mean, he's just like the cameo king. I mean, I love his cameo in This Is the End. And then this looks like a good one as well. So
yeah, he's got that Cajun accent too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Cool. The way of wood is a long time.
it's good.
I have an album to recommend. I was going to recommend it last week, but what did I recommend last week? It was something crazier.
You recommended Long Legs.
Oh, Long Legs. Yeah. Man, that was one hell of a motion picture. I'll tell you that much. This album's an album by this band called The Red Clay Strays. They just came out with their sophomore album called Made by These Moments. The Red Clay Strays kind of went viral about a year ago on there's a YouTube channel called Western AF where they have like bluegrass and southern rock and country western like small acts like do like little live performances, and they get a decent amount of reviews, but a couple bands have really blown up from the videos, and the Red Clay Strays were one of them, because this singer he's got slick back hair like it's the 50s, kind of like almost like Elvis before he became Elvis, and just has this soulful, like, amazing voice that's so good. You're like, damn, it's like, it's got like that raspiness. It's almost a little Kings of Leon, right? Mm-hmm. And very good. I fell in love right away. I was like, this band's awesome. Let's see if their sophomore album, because sometimes you have the sophomore slump, right? You get a second album that's not as good. This one's great. It's a little bit more streamlined than the first album. The first album had a lot of variation, probably, which happens usually with first albums where like it's like these are all our best songs that we've written together, you know, so let's put it on an album. This one's like very straightforward. It's like a southern rock, if you like Allman Brothers, like Lynyrd Skynyrd, but like with this nice soulfulness to it. It's a really, really good album. I enjoyed it. I was cranking it the other day. So
awesome.
The album. Not anything else. But on that note, this has been another episode of Fresh Juice. I have been one of your hosts, Tommy Fresh. You can find me on Twitter at Fresh Buds Pod. I have another podcast called Fresh and Buds this week. We have head developer, lead designer, Brian Gottlieb from that game on the show. Really cool dude. As long as he recovers from his surgery or something, I think he said he was having, it will be this week. If not, it'll be the week after. So, please check out that. You can find us on at Fresh Juice Pod everywhere. Maddie, where can people find you?
You can find me at Maddie Gorm, G-O-R-M, on all the socials. I've been posting a lot on YouTube Wants Human stuff and streaming on Twitch. So that's probably where you'll be able to find me most active.
Hell yeah, hell yeah. And on that note, you gotta stay fresh to be juiced. Oh!